it really is worth protecting. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chair of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Nicholas.
And as always, it's good to be back here in studio and when you hear this on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be with you today. We have got some really good news today, Chuck, coming from our friend Maurice Thompson, who is a constitutional attorney and who heads up the organization, the 1851 Center for Constitutional Law. Folks, you want to Google that up? 1851 Center for Constitutional Law. Why 1851? Well, that was the year of Ohio's Constitution. So Maurice Thompson, who's a constitutionalist, he goes out and does public defense work for free speech rights, for defending constitutional protected rights. And he's been doing a great job, Chuck. I mean, for years, when something's coming up, usually at the state level, where somebody's free speech rights or political rights or free association rights are being threatened or hindered, you're usually going to find Maurice Thompson in the 1851 Center right out there on the front lines defending whether it be a local business owner or students or just plain citizens. And this time it's no different because they actually won a fairly significant case in the United States District Court for the Southern District of Ohio in Cincinnati when Justice Black of the Southern District Court granted a permanent injunction against the University of Cincinnati for a violation of student free speech rights. Now, Chuck, I know yesterday on our program, we talked a little bit about some of the memos that had gone out from the University of Cincinnati and their police department about students being safe on campus and not having a passive victim profile. Well, I think the students at the University of Cincinnati who are part of Young Americans for Liberty really took them up on that memo through Maurice Thompson. They sued the president of the University of Cincinnati, Gregory Williams, and we got a little note on that coming a little later, but sued him over the campus's threat, university's threat to the students of Young Americans for Liberty who were attempting to collect signatures for a ballot initiative called the Workplace Freedom Amendment. And we've talked about that a little bit before in the past, and we'll probably talk about it more on a future program, probably up in the upcoming year as it's possibly heading to the ballot next year. But it was one that would basically allow a right to work type legislation in the state by our Constitution. But when these young people at the University of Cincinnati's Young Americans for Liberty chapter tried to collect signatures for this ballot initiative on campus, they were threatened by the university with arrest if they continue to distribute these petitions and collect signatures. Now, Chuck, I'm not sure what's in the water in Cincinnati, but at the university, they're certainly drinking something that gets their eyes so blurry they cannot read the Constitution.
Well, Barry, let's talk about this for a minute. Now, I'm looking at a picture of the UC president. He is of the approximate age, Greg Williams here. He is apparently from Muncie, Indiana. So I know something about that town. My grandmother graduated from Ball State and lived there for years. So I know something about Muncie. He is of the approximate age that he could have been in college in the 1960s.
Okay.
Now, if you'll recall in the 1960s, what was the cry of the hippies that were everywhere, all over the place in the 60s? What was one of the main cries? Free speech.
Free speech, obviously.
Free speech. Power to the people, free speech. And now that these people are in power, free speech basically meant free speech for me, but not for thee.
Well, and that's what it turned out to be at the University of Cincinnati.
Exactly.
And as the university's policy was a blanket prohibition on students having any type of political speech of freedom. Now, Chuck, I know that University of Cincinnati is paid for in part with state taxpayer dollars and that they don't offer their courses for free, so parents and students are actually paying fees to go to the university. I wonder when they put out their prospectus or their brochures or catalogs at the University of Cincinnati, they highlight the fact that, yes, please come to the University of Cincinnati where you lose your First Amendment rights to engage in political speech. I don't think that they probably highlight that too heavily to prospective students and the parents of prospective students.
Well, Barry, I knew people down at UC, and UC did a thing where they pulled the same tactic that was pulled during the several conventions, political conventions 4 years ago. And that is, they set up quote-unquote free speech zones. And if you'll recall, the big controversy was that the Republican free speech zone was something like 4 blocks from the actual convention itself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what they did was basically the free speech zone at the University of Cincinnati, and this comes from people who were down there at the time, was in a parking lot. And it was basically a few hundred square feet in a parking lot. So you could do anything you wanted to. You could say anything. You could pass petitions, you could do any in this little square area, you know, this little few hundred square feet area. And basically, that's what they called a free speech zone. Otherwise, well, obviously, the opposite of a free speech zone is a no free speech zone. So what they declared was, because they had provided adequately a free speech zone for the students, that they were exempt from having to allow free speech on their campus. This, of course, is the modus operandi of the old left.
Yes,
from the 60s. This is the way they work. They got their free speech. They are now in control, and therefore nobody else is ever going to get free speech again.
Which is the Saul Alinsky, Bill Ayer wing of the 60s radicals. That's how you do it. You basically gain the authority and then shut it down for everybody else. But Chuck, that's the reason why I like Maurice Thompson, who's a friend of mine, and he's a good libertarian, and he believes that when the Constitution of the United States says that there should be no law made enjoining free association, he really means it. And so what he said in the lawsuit, they filed the suit against the president there, Mr. Williams, and it says that they sought recognition, and I'm reading this from the press release sent out by the 1851 Center on the 22nd. So this happened on Wednesday, folks, and we're trying to get it to you as fast as possible here on Friday. They wanted recognition, one, that the First Amendment applied to public university property such as UC. Two, that signature gathering for petition drives is protected form of political speech. And three, UC's requirement that all UC students register up to 15 days ahead of time before engaging in any political speech on campus violates the First Amendment. So if a student wanted to give a talk about a political issue, they had to get permission in writing from the university administration up to 15 days in advance. So back in June, this same judge, Judge Black of the Southern District, gave a preliminary injunction against the university saying, we're going to have you hold that policy in abeyance until we've got a chance to review it. And the judge said this. He says, it is simply unfathomable that a UC student needs to give the university advance notice of an intent to gather signatures for a ballot initiative. There is no danger to public order arising out of students walking around campus with clipboards seeking signatures. And basically, he also told UC to craft more narrowly tailored regulations that regulate student expressive activities only as are necessary to serve a compelling government interest. Chuck, I guess one of these days those words compelling government interest are going to come back to bite a lot of us. But in this instance, it actually served to help protect the students at Young Americans for Liberty.
Well, okay, Barry, I'm going to say something about that. There is a compelling government interest to maintain order. Now, if someone wants to hold a Klan rally on the UC campus, it's easy to see why the administration could say, not here, you don't. It's not happening. Because that's going to lead to, essentially, riot and chaos. So you could see why you might want to have the power to restrict something like that. Now, along that line of thought, I just looked up Gregory H. Williams' biography.
Yes.
This is a very interesting man, to say the least, Barry. He's the author of a book, what he claims is a memoir, Life on the Color Line, The True Story of a White Boy Who Discovered He Was Black.
Oh, so was now, this before Bill Clinton?
Well, Bill Clinton, yes. Bill Clinton loves this guy because he called him into the White House as part of his call to action to promote pro bono work and diversity in the legal profession. You see, President Williams has a J.D., a Juris Doctor.
Oh, really? So
yes,
he's one of those attorneys who never read the Constitution when he went through law school. I'll almost guarantee it.
Bingo. He's a JD and a PhD from George Washington University. And he's also a Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity member. So this is one of those elites who basically says free speech is for those of us who have paid our dues and earned our degree and done pro bono work and all that and got our JDs. The Constitution, blah, who needs it? The more I read about this guy, the more sickening he becomes. I actually went to the UC website and looked up president, and guess what? He just resigned today, and he's no longer listed as the president. I mean, they got the interim guy up as the president already, and this guy as past president.
Well, and that was the thing we were going to talk about a little bit later, so it's not later. Yes, that's
right. I'm sorry,
right.
I let the cat out of the bag.
You let the cat out of the bag, but that's okay because it's perfect timing for it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the court announced on Wednesday a permanent injunction against the University of Cincinnati's speech regulation codes, including requiring not only advance notice, but that any student demonstration or political speech had to happen in, yes, Chuck, you were right, they have free speech zone. And so basically they were telling the students that you could only go in the quote-unquote free speech areas, and to do any kind of demonstration, picketing, or rallies, it was a requirement that all students that have to do it in that particular zone, and that was the only place on campus you could do that. So the judge in the final order said, you're never going to enforce this again. I think the judge was personally offended by UC thinking that they could be the thought police over political expression that's protected by the First Amendment to our Constitution. And it's basically the UC body, the board, I guess, whether it's a board of trustees or whomever. But they have now recrafted their speech policies to permit unfettered free political speech, including signature gathering by students without notice to the university, for groups smaller than 25, and regulates only groups of 5,000 or more. So if you got 5,000 who want to do a demonstration, yeah, they can tell you you've got to go over here. But if it's smaller than that, they can't limit you from doing this. Now, in the light of that, Chuck, this came out on Wednesday. Greg Williams stepped down suddenly, without notice, resigned from the University of Cincinnati as president. Is there a connection? We don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but there looks to be potential of a connection involved here, because the attorneys for the university would have gotten word a little ahead of time that they were about to lose, and lose big.
And it's very interesting. The more I read about this guy, the more interesting he becomes, Barry.
Okay.
And the more interesting his reaction to this case. Now, it says here that he resigned on the 21st. I think he made that a retroactive resignation.
I would say that that was the case. Well, and again, the attorneys would have probably known the day before, on the 21st, because this came out on Wednesday the 22nd, the judge's final order, given a permanent injunction, which means, unless the university wants to spend more taxpayer dollars going up from the U.S. District Court to the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to try to appeal this, which they've already admitted by changing their speech codes that they know they were in the wrong to start with, so they're not going to be any appeal. It looks to be that probably the trustees came to the president and said, and I speculate here, ladies and gentlemen, but said, this is an embarrassment to the university. We can't have this anymore.
Well, you and I speculated that there's probably a damage suit brewing. And frankly, University of Cincinnati has no defense. Of course, they'll defend it, but they have no defense. I mean, this was a smackdown. We're going to post a link to the decision. And if you read the decision, it's not just a little like, well, you know, but you shouldn't have done that. This is a smackdown.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, Greg Williams, the former president of UC, is a former deputy sheriff and a former aide to Senator Connie Mack.
Of Florida.
Yes. Very interesting. How could someone who, well, I mean, this just gets curiouser and curiouser. The more I read about the guy, the more I'm like, okay, this whole free speech zone thing just doesn't make any sense. How could anybody come to the conclusion that you can be able to shove people off into a corner and say, you go over there and have your demonstration where nobody will see it? They miss the point of what a demonstration's for, or actually, they know the exact point of what a demonstration's for, and they don't want it. They don't want to have to deal with it. And that's what it looks like Williams did here in the University of Cincinnati. Now, you and I both know that this was not a unilateral decision on Williams' part. In fact, it was probably done by the faculty, and I'm wondering where the Student Senate was when this decision came down?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure that the chapter of the Young Americans for Liberty on campus are pretty elated by the outcome of this. And hopefully some of those people are engaged and on their student senate.
Yes. Well, you know what, Barry? We're out of time for today, but you know what? Maybe we should take this into a little bit of a segment tomorrow. We think we've got enough things. We'll do part of a segment tomorrow on our Saturday show with this. But we are out of time for today. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.